Well, we're turning in our Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Exodus and chapter 4. The book of Exodus and chapter 4. We'd like to speak to you for a short time this evening under the title, What is in Your Hand? What is in your hand? This is a question that comes really from the text that we're going to read this evening. We're going to apply that to our own lives. What is in your hand? Exodus chapter 4, please, and we're reading from the first one, just a short reading, the first five verses found here in Exodus chapter 4. And this is the word of the Lord that reads, And Moses answered and said, he's speaking to the Lord, and Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, speaking of the Israelites, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? He said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Verse 2 really is our text this evening. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? What is in your hand? And Moses answered, A rod. The context of this passage revolves around the call of Moses to be the deliverer of Israel. At this stage, he is 80 years old. He's a fugitive from Egypt. He lives with his father-in-law, Jethro, and he keeps Jethro's sheep. He doesn't appear to be the likely choice for the ministry that the Lord had in mind to lead the children of Israel out of the slavery of Egypt. And when the call of God comes, Moses, he came and he gave every excuse that he could think of to get out of what the Lord wanted him to do. He said in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, I don't feel worthy to do this, Lord. Maybe that's an excuse sometimes you give the Lord. In verses 13 and 14 in chapter 3, he says, He doesn't even know God's name, he says. And the Lord says, I am that I am. And at the beginning of chapter 4, here in these verses we're reading, he's saying, The people aren't going to believe me, Lord. If I go to the people, they're not going to believe that you sent me. That's another excuse that he gave. And then later on in the chapter, he says, He's not very good with his words. He's not a good orator. And then on further down again, he says, Lord, just send another person. Don't send me. Send another person. After all the excuses, well, Moses, as you know, goes on to do what the Lord has told him to do, but of course now with Aaron alongside him. In the middle of this account that we have read this evening, God asks Moses this question that we've read from verse 2. What is that in thine hand? What is in your hand? And Moses, he looks at this staff, the shepherd's rod in his hand, and he says back to the Lord, it's a rod. All he had in his hand was a simple shepherd's staff. To Moses, all he had in his hand was a dead and a dry stick that he could do nothing with. That's all it was to him, but in the eyes of the Lord, it was much more than that. And as we take a few moments to consider this text, let's take time to look at our own lives and see the things that you and I carry in our hands. I want you to see that just as God used what was in Moses' hand for his glory, that he desires to use the things that you carry in your hand for his glory as well. So let's notice a few things as we ask this question. I want you to see, first of all, the Lord's appeal to Moses. The Lord's appeal. It's simply the question, what is in your hand? The Lord appeals to him. And there's it's a twofold appeal, I suppose. First of all, it's an appeal to surrender. What is in your hand? The truth is that this question, what God is really asking, he's asking Moses, I want everything that you can give. I want all that's in your hand. So I ask my own soul this evening, I want you to ask yours, do I give the Lord all that is in our hand? All that I can, my abilities, my time, his place in my family, my finances, do I give it all over to the Lord? God wants you. God wants all of you. Every part of your life. Now, can I place this even in the context of our church fellowship here at Grains this evening? God has a work here in this local fellowship that you can do. Here we are again on the threshold of the winter work here at the church. And the local church is a place where we can offer to God all that is in our hands. It's a great place to serve the Lord, withholding nothing from him. And this evening I praise God for many of you who are involved in multiple works here at Grange. You do seek to give the Lord all that's in your hand. You seek to use your ability and your talents for his glory. And I thank God for that. For people who are willing to give of their time and their abilities to serve here in this fellowship. But the lesson here is that God wants us to surrender all. God wants all that we possess. He wants all that is in our hand. I said it was a twofold request. The other side of it is not just surrender, but it's an appeal from the Lord to submit. Well, what does that mean? Well, you can be giving your talents to the Lord. But submission is a different thing. Not only does God want your possessions, he wants your will. The appeal here also involved Moses' submission to the commands of God. When God commanded him to do it, he was going to do it. Submission is obedience to God. Surrender is giving all over. Submission is saying, Lord, I will do what you tell me to do. And these are the two requests. This was the appeal that the Lord gave to Moses. But I want you to notice, secondly, this evening, the appraisal. You see, Moses, he looks down and he gives an appraisal, if you like, of what's in his hand. And he just says, all of God is a rod. Now, that word appraisal, that just means to judge the value of someone or something. And Moses is looking down and he's thinking of the value of this that's in his hand and he doesn't think much of it. He looks down, he just sees the depravity of what's in his hand. It's just a rod, Lord. When Moses said a rod, he was referring to his shepherd's staff. This was a long stick, if you like, 6 foot long maybe. It was used in a variety of ways by a shepherd. It was used to guide. It was used to lead. It was used to protect the sheep. It was to support the shepherd. It was to help him climb up and down the steep mountain places as he looked after his sheep. It was used to defend the flock and the shepherd, and it also to protect the shepherd against the attacks of wild animals and other things that would threaten the flock. And Moses depended on that rod every day that he lived. But as he looked at it, it was nothing that the Lord could use. That rod also gave Moses his identification as a shepherd. When people saw that rod in his hand, which he would have constantly carried, they immediately would have known what job he did. He was a shepherd. That rod not only represented what his identity, but it represented all that he owned, all that he possessed. He didn't even own the sheep that he kept, you know. He couldn't even say to the Lord, these sheep that belong to me. They belong to his father-in-law, Jethro. All Moses possessed was this stick, this rod in his hands. It represented his life, his identity, his livelihood. And Moses saw nothing special in the rod to serve the Lord. And we may not seem to have much special ability that God can use. Sometimes there's people and they say, I can't, I've nothing to offer to the Lord. And you may feel that you're short on talent and other things, and I can't do this and I can't do that. And to us all that we may seem to have is useless, worthless, vain, disqualifying you from the work of God, well, you're wrong. You see, Moses looked down and his appraisal of his rod was, well, this is useless to you, Lord. All I've got is a rod. Moses looked at his rod and he didn't think he had anything to offer. But I want to look at God's appraisal of the rod. Moses looked down and he saw depravity. Well, what about the appraisal of deity? What did God say about the rod? What did God think about the rod? Well, God used Moses' rod to do great things. You know, in fact, the rod became known as the rod of God. In Exodus 4, verse 20, it's described that way in chapter 17, verse 9. This rod that is in his hand, that he has looked down and he said, all of God is a rod, eventually is described as the rod of God. Moses is commanded to take the rod, in verse 3, and to cast it on the ground. When he does, it turns into a serpent. And you know, Moses is so shocked, it says at the end of verse 3 that he fled from the serpent. Now, that suggests to me that it would have been a dangerous snake. He would have seen many snakes when he was out serving and looking after the sheep. But this suggests to me that it was a particularly dangerous snake. Some commentators think that it may have been a cobra or a snake like a cobra. And the reason for this assumption is both in Moses' reaction in that he flees from it, but also that cobras were worshipped as gods by the Egyptians. And Pharaoh would have worn a golden cobra around his neck. And seeing Moses take a stick and turn it into a cobra or some sort of dangerous snake would have been a commentary both to the Israelites. Remember, Moses' excuse has been, they'll not believe who sent me. And now he's throwing his rod that God has said is in his hand down into the floor and it's turned into this dangerous snake. And it would have been that commentary to both the Egyptians and the Israelites that the one and true God had sent Moses with this message. And it represented something that was more powerful than the gods of the Egyptians that they worshipped. But here's the point. Here's the point. To Moses, that rod was nothing but a tool. A weapon, a necessary part of his life. In his hand, it helped support him. It helped protect and guide his flock. It helped him in many ways day by day. But in his hands, it was just a dead, dry stick. When that stick was given over to the Lord, it became a living thing. It became a thing of power that God used to defeat Israel's enemies and to glorify God's name. God took that insignificant stick and worked wonders with it. It was used to confront the Egyptian soothsayers in chapter 7, verse 12. It was used to turn the waters of Egypt to blood. It was used to bring the plague of frogs. It was used to bring the plague of lice. It was used to bring the plague of hail. It was used to call the east wind that blew in a plague of locusts. It was used to part the Red Sea. It was used to cause the Red Sea to come together again, drowning Pharaoh and his army. It was used to bring water from a rock in the desert. It was used to bring victory over the Amalekites. And in verse 4, you see that Moses is commanded to put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Now, people who work with snakes will tell you that this is the stupidest thing you could do, to lift a snake by its tail. It's a disaster. It's a recipe for disaster. If you're going to pick up a snake, you need to grab it from just behind its head. Moses was commanded to take the snake by the tail to teach him that he could trust the Lord to take care of him. He lifted that snake by a part of it that would be dangerous on any other occasion. When Moses obeyed, the serpent became that dead stick, that dead rod once more. But I guarantee you, Moses never looked at that rod the same way ever again. God took that rod, that weak, powerless, dead, dry stick, and used it in a mighty way. Why? Because Moses yielded it to the Lord. Had it remained in Moses' hands, it would have held no power for God. And it would have just held power over his whole life. Because he yielded to the Lord, he was freed from its power over him. He was no longer that shepherd that just worked for his father-in-law. Instead, he obeyed the Lord, and God used that rod, that staff, for his glory. This evening, we see God's appeal. He said to Moses, "What is that in your hand, dear brother, dear sister?" God says to you tonight, "What is that in your hand?" You sit and you say, "Well, Lord, what I've got to offer, you wouldn't want that. It's very little. It's not like all those other people who are so gifted and so talented and so skilled. I don't have anything to offer you, Lord." Well, you're wrong. You give the Lord what you have, what is in your hand, and he can use that for his glory. We see the appraisal. Moses looked at the rod and he says, "Well, this is useless. This is all of God, Lord." But God's appraisal was much different. He used that staff for his glory, and many miracles happened with it. But thirdly and finally here, there's an admonition that comes from these verses. I don't know what you hold in your hand today, but there's certainly an admonition that comes from these verses. There's something that, I wonder, is there something that you're holding in your hand that shouldn't be there? What you hold in your hand isn't yielded to the Lord, it's a hindrance to your life. It holds you back from being everything you could be for the Lord. Not only does it hold you back, but it'll affect everyone around you. It'll affect your family, it'll affect our church fellowship, it'll affect everything you touch in your life and everything that touches you. For example, that sin you refuse to abandon to the grace of God, it's a dead stick in your hand. It holds you back. But if you give it to the Lord in confession and repentance, it becomes an opportunity for him to display his grace, his forgiveness, and his restoration in your life. Maybe there's some bitterness that you hold in your hand tonight. Someone's wronged you in the past, and you've kept this bitterness in your heart for a long time. And it's like a dead stick in your hand. But when you bring that bitterness to the Lord, he's able to deliver you from the bondage that you're in and restore you to the place of blessing and fellowship with that person. Maybe you have a negative spirit. You possess a negative spirit that causes you to look at the bad at everyone and the bad in every situation. And that's a dead stick in your hand. But when you bring it to the Lord, he's able to change your perspective on people and events and these things. And he's able to bring you out of that bondage. That sorrow that you've allowed to shape your life and steal your joy, that's a dead rod in your hand. But if you bring it to God, he will teach you that he even has purpose in your pain, and he'll teach you the truth of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. That ability that you have, that maybe you're so proud of, that can be a dead rod in your hand if you don't surrender it and use it to serve the Lord. God gives us our abilities that we might be a channel of blessing whereby he's able to use your life in greater ways. Those accomplishments in your past that maybe you continually look to your a dead stick in your hands, a dead rod in your hands, but when you give them to the Lord, he will enable you to see that there's greater things in the future that you can do for him if you place it in his hands. Everything that we hold in our hands is either a burden or a blessing, depending on what we do with it. Had Moses just held on to that stick, had Moses done nothing with the rod, had he not obeyed God, how different the narrative would be before us this evening. When we hold on to things, it's a problem, but when we yield them to the Lord, he's able to release their potential for blessing in our lives. Sometimes we wonder why the Lord isn't moving in these days the way he did in past days. Well, can I suggest that maybe more of us than we would like to think continue to hold the rod in our hand instead of giving it to the Lord? Like Moses, we're holding a dead rod in our hands that we need to surrender. It could be some sin that we need to let go of. And like Achan in Joshua 7, there's a sin buried deep within us that needs to be brought out and dealt with. The rod was a problem for Moses until he released it. And that unleashed God's glory, and what he was able to see in his lifetime was absolutely amazing. Imagine if the hymn we just sang, we actually lived it out. Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to thee God's very best. Imagine if we really truly did that. Lay everything on the altar. Held nothing back for ourselves. Imagine the glory that we might see before our very eyes. Imagine the things that we might witness before our very eyes, even here in this corner of the vineyard. Oh, that the Lord would help us tonight to give the Lord all that is in our hands. Oh, that we would remember that wee question in verse 2. That was asked of Moses, what is that in your hand? I know that we would pass the rod over to the Lord and give him all that we have. I trust the Lord will bless these simple thoughts to our hearts this week. God willing.